Got a Bible, will you turn with me to the book of Colossians? Colossians 1, this is the series we're working through at the moment. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, and we're going to commence to read in a few moments' time at verse 24. For those who are just joining with us in this series, Paul is writing to a local church, the church that meets at Colossae. He's writing to people who are true believers, they're true followers of Jesus Christ, but they're surrounded by false teachers. Lots of false teaching going around, lots of people speaking, but they're belittling Jesus Christ. They don't have much time for Christ. And so last week we read that great section that Paul wrote, verses 15 through to 23. And in that section, Paul reminds this church all about Jesus Christ. He reminds them that Jesus Christ actually is God. That great verse, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So he reminds them how great Jesus Christ is. And he also reminds them what Jesus Christ has done for them. He's the one who died on a cross to reconcile people to himself. The end of verse 20 talks about making peace by the blood of his cross. Now let's think about the logic of this. Paul has just told these Christians that Jesus Christ is God. And not only is he God, that he's actually the God who died for them. And Paul's logic is, no matter what the cost is, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ really is God, and he died for me, no matter the cost, I'm going to follow him, I'm going to serve his church. I wonder, do you think about that? Do you think like that when you think about Christ? If he's really God, and he died for me, no matter the cost, I'm going to live for him, and I'm going to serve his church. That's the way Paul thought. And that's what we're going to read about in this next section. Let's read it from verse 24 of chapter 1. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. For I know that you know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, be knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. A few months ago, I preached a sermon on Sunday night on Romans chapter 10. And during that sermon, I used this very famous quotation given by a very famous missionary, C.T. Studd. And I want to use this quotation again because it's a great, challenging quote. I want you to think about these words. This famous missionary who had given up many things, went through many challenges and struggles, said these words. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. C.T. Studd obviously had a real grip of what Colossians 1, that passage we studied last week, was all about. If Jesus Christ be God, so Colossians 1 tells us, and he died for me, tells us that as well, then no sacrifice, nothing can be too great for me to make for him. What's he saying in this quotation? He's saying, if Jesus Christ is great, and if Jesus Christ did great things for me, then I will follow him, and I will serve him no matter what the cost is. And the Apostle Paul could echo those words. Once he hated Jesus Christ, once he hated the very sound of Christ's name, once he hated those who followed Christ, he was an enemy of Christ Jesus. He was somebody who actually inflicted real suffering and pain and persecution upon the followers of Jesus Christ until that dramatic day when he realized exactly who Jesus was. There came a point in his life Paul realized that Jesus Christ really was God. And he realized that Jesus Christ had died for him. And that resulted in his conversion, that radical turnaround in his life. And from that point, he gave his life in service to Jesus Christ, no matter the cost and no matter the sacrifice. And this section we've just read, these number of verses, you could split up into three. It tells us about Paul's Christian ministry. It's really autobiographical. It tells us his motivation of his ministry and why he suffers and what he's involved in. You can split up into these three sections: his suffering, his responsibility, and his concern for the church as well. What we're going to do this morning is we're just going to take that first verse, verse 24. We're just going to park there this morning. So all we're going to look at, we're going to look at that first point, his suffering. And then next Sunday, we'll come back and we'll pick up the rest of the verses, talking about his responsibility and his concern for the church as well. So you may be glad to hear we're going to look at one verse in detail this morning. Because of his love for Christ, Paul was willing to suffer. In fact, it says here, really fascinating phrase. It says that he rejoices in suffering. Let me read those words again. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Paul was actually suffering at the moment of writing this letter, because where was Paul when he was writing the letter? We're not sure exactly where he was geographically. Don't know the exact location. Was he in Rome? Was he in Caesarea? What we do know is that he was in a prison cell. And he was in a prison cell. He had lost his freedom, his physical freedom. He was suffering for the sake of Christ and for the sake of preaching the gospel and for building up the church. He's actually suffering as he writes these words. And yet he says, I'm rejoicing in my suffering. Paul was somebody who constantly suffered for the sake of Jesus Christ. He constantly suffered for the sake of the church. We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just listen to these words. Paul talks about all that he went through in his ministry for Christ. Listen to this. This is not a great job advertisement for being an apostle. Listen to what he experienced. Imprisonments with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there's the daily pressure in me of my anxiety for all the churches. That is suffering. And what does the Apostle Paul say? I rejoice. I rejoice in my suffering. That is a strange, strange phrase to say. What sort of person was the Apostle Paul? Was he some sort of twisted person? Was he some sort of wacko who took some real pleasure in all these physical sufferings and torment that he went through for the sake of Christ and his church? No, Paul's joy was not in the actual physical suffering. What his joy was in was what he was actually suffering for. He took real joy in what he was suffering for. Some things in life are worth suffering for. If you would say to me, what would you suffer for, Peter? I think I would be willing to suffer for my family. My family were in danger or some sort of turmoil of some sort. I would put my life on the line for my family. Don't know if I would do it for your family, possibly. Would I do it for a stranger's family? Probably not. But there are some things worth suffering for. There are some things you love so much that you would gladly suffer for them. Some things are worth suffering for, and Christ and his church are one of those things. Think about the apostles, the other apostles, not Paul, the other disciples. Remember when Christ was arrested in the garden, what did they do? They ran away. They didn't want any suffering at that point. But they came to that place where they realized exactly who Jesus was after the cross and after his resurrection. They realized that Jesus was God and he had died for them. And then the book of Acts tells us a story how they went out in the streets and they preached the gospel and they were involved in the building up of the church and they suffered much, yet they didn't complain. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, you read these words. This is following on after the disciples have all been arrested. They spend some time in jail. They're released and they say these words. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Christ. What a joy. If Jesus Christ is God, and he died for me, what an honor to suffer for his name. We read these words in 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter penned these words. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed about this. Don't be ashamed. But let him glorify God in that name. Don't be ashamed. If Jesus Christ is God, he died for you. Don't be ashamed to suffer for his name. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about suffering. Paul's letters are full of suffering. We shouldn't be surprised when Christians suffer for the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Jesus told us that there would be suffering. In fact, in his great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus spoke about this. He said, "Blessed are those people who suffer, who are persecuted in my name." In fact, you will be blessed for suffering for my name and for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, parts of this verse, verse 24, are very hard for us to understand. Parts of this verse are very disputed. People struggle. What exactly does it mean? Particularly look at that phrase in the middle of the verse. "And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction." So as I suffer in the flesh, as I'm going through all this turmoil, I'm actually filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. What's that verse saying? Is it saying there's something lacking in Christ's suffering? Is that what it's trying to say? When Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, was there something lacking? And now that Apostle Paul is suffering for the sake of Christ and the name of Christ, is that adding something to Christ's suffering? Is that what the verse is actually saying? No, Paul's not saying that his suffering is part of Christ's suffering, his affliction on the cross. In fact, the word used here in this verse, affliction, is a word that is never used in Scripture to describe Christ's death on the cross. This verse is not talking about the cross where Jesus Christ died for us. His death on the cross, Christ's suffering on the cross for us, was complete. It was a completed work. And so when Jesus Christ hung on the cross through great pain, through great suffering, he cried out at the end. What did he cry? "It is finished. It's complete. I've paid the price. There is nothing that needs to be added to my suffering. It's a once-for-all sacrificial death. Nothing needs to be added to it. It is a complete suffering, sacrificial death for you." But what this verse is referring to is it's for Christ's suffering in his people. Christ's suffering in his people that still continues today. What the verse is referring to is the afflictions that Christians experience. The afflictions that Christians experience as they live for Christ in this hostile world. Now, it talks here about Christ's afflictions. Now, how can it be Christ's afflictions if other people are suffering those things? Well, let me take you back in the story of the Apostle Paul. Paul was in Jerusalem. He was an enemy of Christ. He was an enemy of Christ's people. He was rounding up the believers, throwing them into prison, and causing them great suffering. He was killing some of them, involved in that. He mightn't have thrown the stones, but he held the coats of those who threw the stones at people like Stephen. He heard that the believers had spread out. They'd gone to a place like Damascus. And so he headed down that road. He headed down the road to Damascus to cause even more suffering upon the believers. And as he was on the road to Damascus, Christ stopped him with a blinding light, and Christ himself spoke to Jesus Christ. We read this account in the book of Acts. And Jesus spoke to him very clearly, and he said, "Saul, Saul," that was his name as recorded in Scripture at that stage. We know it was later. We referred to as Paul. But he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting these Christians?" That's Paul's intention. He was going there to persecute, to cause suffering to Christians. But actually, Christ himself, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because actually, when Paul caused the pain upon those Christians, as he took away their freedom and put them in jail, he was actually causing Christ in heaven to suffer. Because Christ Jesus suffers the afflictions with his people. So that's why he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" That's what it speaks about here. The sufferings that Christians endure help to actually fill up, to complete Christ's afflictions. The suffering that Christ continues to suffer through his people today and will continue to suffer until he comes again. Paul once had caused these sufferings But now he says, I rejoice to be on the other side of them. I rejoice to be going through these sufferings for the name and the sake of Jesus Christ. And to put that quotation up on the screen that I put at the start from this missionary C.T. Studd, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. I'm going to change that quotation. I'm going to make it my own here this morning. I'm going to change one word, take the name off it because it's a different quotation now. If Jesus Christ be God and he died for me, then no suffering can be too great for me to make for him. In fact, as Paul would say, I'll rejoice in suffering to be associated and to have Christ Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And the suffering that Paul is going through is not for his own benefit. In fact, his suffering is for the benefit of other people. He says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Who he's talking about there? He's talking about the believers in Colossae. He's never met these people. He's never been to Colossae. He's writing a letter to them. He's just heard about them. But he's suffering for their sake. And not just their sake. It goes on the verse. And in my flesh I'm filling up what's lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. In fact, for all the church, not just this one local church meeting in Colossae, for all the body, everybody who is a true believer, I will suffer for their sake. Paul is suffering imprisonment. And it's happened as a result of him bringing the gospel, of going and preaching, of traveling around, of meeting with local churches and building up on the faith, of writing letters and sending them out. All his ministry is for the sake of the church. And in a sense, they were sharing in his sufferings as well. As he went out and he preached the gospel and proclaimed, they were benefiting from his sufferings. They were benefiting from all of his ministry. So I said, Paul had never been to Colossae, but what had happened? He had gone out, he had been to Ephesus, he had preached there. Other people, Epaphroditus had heard there, Philemon, they'd heard the gospel. They had benefited from Paul's ministry, and then they had gone back to Colossae and established the church there. Paul had suffered much to preach this gospel, and yet through his suffering, this church had been set up in Colossae as well. And even today, we are still benefiting from Paul's ministry. We are still benefiting from all the sufferings, all those things that he went through that we read about in 2 Corinthians, the shipwrecks, being stoned, being imprisoned, being left for dead. We are still benefiting. Paul went through those hardships and he didn't give up. And people took on the baton from him. People kept on pioneering in his footsteps. Paul was the first missionary ever to come to Europe and to preach Christ. The first place in Europe where he went was Philippi. What happened in Philippi? He ended up in jail. Did he stop? No, he kept going. And others took on the baton from him and they brought the gospel further west. And further west in Europe until the gospel arrived in our islands. We have benefited from his sufferings, from his persecutions, from his ministry. And even today, 2,000 years later, we sit here with a completed Bible. And what do? We read a letter like the book of Colossians. Written from a prison cell, written from suffering. And yet we read these words inspired by God himself, and they can be such a blessing to our hearts. And we are still reaping the benefit of his suffering and his ministry. And God is still using that to bless his church and to build up his church as well. Paul rejoiced in his suffering. He suffered for the name of Jesus Christ. The one who was God, the one who had died for him, the one who had changed his life. And he was suffering for Christ's bride, the church. Because that was worth suffering for as well. And so to come back to these words, if Jesus Christ be God, and he died for me, then no suffering can be too great for me to make for him. So what about us? What about us this morning? We think about those words. Could we write those words? I rejoice in my sufferings. Would you be willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ? Some of you here this morning don't want to give up anything. You don't want to give anything up for the sake of Jesus Christ. Yes, in your head you might believe that Jesus Christ really is God. You don't doubt that. You believe that point. You're not doubting that. And you actually believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sins. You believe those points, that Jesus Christ is God and he died for you. But you don't want to give up anything for him. You won't surrender your life. It's too costly. What about my lifestyle? The lifestyle I have at the moment, wouldn't want to give that up. What about my friends? There might be some suffering there. They might say things to me. I might be ostracized by some groups of people. How would that go and work? How would that affect my promotions even in work if I was to come out and say, now I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? You don't want to sacrifice anything. You wouldn't want to suffer anything, even to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know, being a Christian is not a call to an easy life. Jesus Christ himself said that. The Bible never paints a rose-tinted picture of this here. Come a Christian and everything's going to be wonderful. In fact, if you read the Bible honestly, you'll find the complete opposite. That's why Jesus said in the Gospels, he said to people who were listening to his teaching, he said, count the cost. You want to be one of my followers? Count the cost. There's a cost involved in following me. And one of the costs is sometimes there's suffering. Sometimes it's different degrees of suffering. We know that people in different parts of the world are suffering far much more than we are suffering today. But Jesus Christ said, count the cost. This isn't an easy life to take my name. Because when I lived here on earth, Christ would say, I suffered. I was rejected by people. I was scorned. I was despised. And if you take my name, well, don't be surprised if that's the life that comes with it as well. Count the cost. Are you willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ and know him as your Savior? Now, one day all suffering will pass. One day this world will go and we will spend all of eternity with Jesus Christ. There will be no suffering, no pain at that point. But here on earth, count the cost. Jesus told some parables about it. He told a number of parables, one about a man who found a great treasure, a precious pearl. Another one, he found a treasure buried in a field. And what did they do? These two people, they found this great treasure. And when they found this great treasure, they had to have it no matter what the cost was. They counted the cost and they were willing to pay the cost. It says they went home and they sold everything they had. They made this great sacrifice. They gave up everything they had to have the greatest treasure. And what was that treasure? The greatest treasure is Jesus Christ. To know him as your Lord and as your Savior. So Jesus said, count the cost. You want to be one of my followers? Count the cost. Jesus Christ be God and died for me, that no suffering, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. I wonder if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. If you ever counted that cost, do you realize who Jesus is, what he's done for you? And would you be willing to give up anything, suffer anything, to have the greatest treasure, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and your Savior? Now, many of you here this morning are Christians. As I've already said, we live in a relatively easy part of the world. We don't have the suffering that our brothers and sisters and the persecuted have. People who are suffering today, people who will not be able to meet freely like us, who will go into hiding. There will be our brothers and sisters in Christ today who will be rounded up, thrown into prison, perhaps badly treated, beaten, because they hold the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. We have relative ease in our Western democracy here, but things are getting harder. The tide has turned. The attitude to believers is not what it was even 2 or 3 years ago. The attitude to believers. And I think things will get gradually more difficult for us as Christians. But no matter what our situation is right here at this moment, we can all face suffering. Perhaps you might face suffering even in your own home, the place closest to you. Maybe you might be the only Christian in your home. There might only be a few. Maybe there might be some suffering there. Verbal comments that you have to face on a daily basis. Maybe you're ignored. Maybe you're ostracized. Maybe you're rejected. What about school? Stand up in a school classroom and say you're a committed Christian. Is that going to go down well? Well, a lot of people might just be blasé to that there. But you might face some verbal suffering, some verbal comments. Again, being ostracized, being rejected, ignored. Make a stand in the workplace for Jesus Christ. How's that going to go? Depends on your workplace, depends on your work colleague. But you may face some opposition in the workplace as well. Here's the question. Are we willing to suffer for the name of Christ and for the sake of his church? To rejoice in our sufferings, as the Apostle Paul puts it. Maybe you're here this morning. Life's comfortable here. You feel, it's okay being a Christian here. I don't face have a Christian family. Work's good. Family's good. I don't have to suffer much. It's great. God has blessed me with a lack of suffering. But what if God was to call you? What if God was to speak into your heart and say, I want to move you somewhere? For the sake of the church. For the sake of the gospel being spread. Would you be willing to leave here? Leave your family and maybe bring your family with you and go and serve Christ in a difficult place. A difficult place for the gospel. A difficult place where Christ's name is hated. Would you be willing to go if that was Christ's call upon your life? Would you be willing to prepare to suffer for the name of Christ? Sadly, many of us just want an easy life. As somebody once said, we're not willing to take a paper cut for the name of Jesus Christ. That would be just too much suffering. We wouldn't want that. Do you know what many of us want? Many of us want the blessings that Christ gives. Here's what we want. We want forgiveness of our sins, and we want eternal life in heaven. We want those nice things. We want forgiveness. We want eternal life. But we don't want to identify with Christ and his sufferings. No, we don't want that. We don't want a life that is too difficult. We don't want a life that is too painful. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Why did Paul say that? Paul said that because he had grasped exactly who Jesus Christ was. We knew he had grasped exactly who Jesus Christ was because it's in the previous section we studied last week. He said that because he realized that Jesus Christ was God. And he realized that the God himself, Jesus Christ, had died on a cross for his sins. And so Paul could have said these words on the screen. If Jesus Christ be God, and he died for me, then no suffering can be too great for me to make for him. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. And we know your word is challenging. And we know your word is difficult. And we thank you for the Apostle Paul, who had grasped exactly who you are. That Jesus Christ really is God, and he really is the God who died for us. And that because of that great transformation in his life, that Jesus Christ was his Savior, that he was part of Christ's bride, the church, that he was willing to suffer for Christ's name and suffer for the sake of the church, that they might be built up in their faith. And that not only was he willing to suffer, but he rejoiced that he was joining with Christ in his sufferings. And we pray for us, Lord God. We pray that each one of us would grasp exactly who Jesus Christ is. And in response to that, help us to be willing to suffer, no matter what that suffering is, for the sake of Christ and his church. Help us, knowing that you don't leave us in our sufferings alone, that you promise never to leave us, never to forsake us. And you also promise that one day you will come again and make all things new. And one day we will spend all eternity in you, not suffering, but rejoicing. Rejoicing in your presence and rejoicing in your presence forever and ever. Help us. Help us to live committed lives. Help us to count the cost and to live our lives in full commitment and service to the one who loved us and gave his life for us, Jesus Christ. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen.